Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Avodah Zarah Daf Mem. We begin on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom of the Amud. V'Toras Sheino Trufa. So as we just learned in the Mishnah, if it's a toras, a small, small-sized fish which has not been mashed, so you can still identify the fish by its kosher size. You can still tell. In that case, you can have it from the goy. Tana Rabbanan. What level of discernibility is required? Tana Rabbanan. Ezohi toras sheino trufa was considered a fish which has not been cut up, mashed. Kol sharoish v'shidra nikar. So you still must be able to identify its head. So if it's more of a flattish, roundish type of head, then it's a kosher fish, because if it's non-kosher, it would be more pointy. So that the roish, the head, and the shidra, the spine, more specifically the spinal cord, which is unique to only kosher fish. So you can tell. It still has the roish v'shidra nikar. You can still tell these two identifying features, and in which case you're safe. Mishnah continued that you can also consume brine, fish brine, which has in it a doga, a little fishy. In which case you know that, because this type of creature, which actually happens to be a non-kosher creature, happens to develop, it grows within kosher fish brine. So if you buy the tzira, the fish brine from a guy, and you find within it this little mini creature, then you know you're safe. Ve'ezo yitzir sheyesh ba'doga. So what exactly is this tzira that has the doga? Kosher kilvis achas. You have this little doggy looking creature swimming around. So it's either one, or shtei kilbis, or two. Shoytetois, boy, swimming around in this... on this brine, and you're safe. Well, if one is enough, why two? Hashta kilbis achas amris shorit. If you just allowed me, even with one, shtei kilbis mibay. Of course, if it has two, why discuss two if one is sufficient? Like, how should the answer is like this? Depends on the situation. Kan bepsuchois, kan bestumois. So if it's a closed barrel, closed container, and you open it up, you find a little kilbis, you're good to go. But if it's open, then Rashi says it's not enough, because perhaps this thing popped in from the outside, it fell in. So in this case, you need to have two of them. It's like two Adam, two witnesses, in which case you say it's unlikely that both fell in from the outside, and apparently it was self-grown, in which case it's kosher material. Itmar. So back to this question of identifying this fish, Rav Huna Amar, you need to tell both. Simonim, achtei roish v'shidra nikar ba. You have to actually be able to identify the head and the shedra. So both signs only. Rav Nachman Amar, one or the other is enough. A roish, a shedra, one or the other would do the trick. So according to Rav Huna, it's not it's not enough to only have one. Perhaps you can mistaken it for an non-kosher. So you have to have both. To give you that confidence that you have it right. Masav Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Yad Akasha. Why are we speaking about heads and cords? The Pasuk and the Mishnayos, the Gemara, speak about different types of kosher signs on fish. Fins and scales, right? Ubedagim. So what's the identifying sign of a kosher fish? Kol sheyesh bo snapir. It has the fin, the kaskas, and the scales. Okay, so... it's fins and scales, not heads and tails. A head and the roish and the shedra would suffice to identify. When we give us those two, when we speak about those two signs of snapper and kaskeses, it's the aro fish, it's the palmuda fish. The damu reishai l'tmeim there, you can't really identify it by way of its head, because in those instances, those fish's heads are very similar looking to the non-kosher fish. So there, it's not going to provide positive identity until you have the fins and the scales. Amrav Yehuda Mishmei Deula. Mach, like, it's our, the whole discussion. Do we need the Rosh and the Shedra, or one or the other is enough? So meaning, the one that is lenient and allows one of the two signs to suffice, that's only the Tavel Betzira. If you're using the brine, you're dipping, you know, your bread into the brine, because brine, fish brine, isn't, according to Tosis, isn't really Asur Min HaTorah. So even if it's non-kosher fish brine, it's not really, you know, an integral part of the fish. It's like Zeya Ba'alma, it's just like, you know, sweat, it's like some sort of moisture, residual moisture. It's not, it doesn't really contain the essence of the fish. It's only Asur Min HaRabbanan. So since it's Asur Min HaRabbanan, we allow ourselves to be more lenient, and we allow even one form of identity, one siman, to suffice. Aval begufan, but to consume the actual fish itself, which if it were not kosher, would be asur min haTorah. There we need that double identity. Divrei HaKol all would agree asur ad shehei roish v'shedra nikar. There it wouldn't be permitted unless you have both, positive identifying signs. Amrash of Zera. Mereish, initially I didn't have this this perspective, and I figured that, you know, this whole discussion pertains to the fish itself, but the tzir, the juice, the sauce, would be okay, according to all. All would agree it's okay with merely one identifying sign. Mereish, initially, have a matbilna, I would dip into the betzira, into the brine of this type of fish, with merely only one identifying sign, either the reish or the shedra, and that would be enough for me. But ki mundi shamanalo. But once I heard this presentation, the Omar of Yehuda, Mishmed Ula, right, the aforementioned statement, that it's the other way around. Machlekes l'tavol betziron. The machlekes, which means that the ishita, that's machmer, that requires two elements of identity, that's with respect to the tzir. So more lenient over there, and some say one is enough, some say two is enough. Aval v'gufan, but with respect to the actual body of the fish itself, the verakol, us all agrees, not permitted, achihei, roish, v'shedra, nikar, unless you have those two signs, the roish and the shedra. So once I heard that, I decided to be more stringent, not to take a lenient route, and therefore, betzira nami, lemat bilna, I would not even use the tzir, without both simonim to prove its kashrus in accordance with the strict opinion. Amar Papa Hilchasa, so what's the conclusion? That, you need both simonim, achihei roish v'shedra, nikar, shekal achas v'achas, if you want to partake in the fish, or even the brine, or even the juice, you have to firmly, positively identify each single piece, each single fish that's there, identify and confirm that the head, that the shedra, is in fact indicative of a kosher fish. Meisve, he comes a kasha on Rav Papa, who required this double form of identity for each piece. So you have a guy who delivered some fish, chatichos, you have these slices of fish, sheish ban siman, where you find some siman of kashrus, bein bekulam, bein mektsasin, whether it's on each piece or whether it's just on part of the slices, even if you have 100 slices and only one exhibits kashrus signs, that's good enough for everything. Kulan mataros. Why? Because we assume that he wouldn't mix, you know, different types of fish. They clash in terms of taste and quality. So if it's determined that one of them is kosher, one piece is kosher, you assume it's all the same type. In fact, there was a story, Umasa by Vilke Chavma. There was a story about a guy, Echad, a certain guy, Shevi Garav Shachatichos, he brought this big container full of slices of fish. Vinim says, Simon Be'echas Mehen, and they found the proper simon on one slice. So what about the rest? Vehitur, Rabbon, Shimon, Megamlil, Es Hagarav Kuloi. He gave a heksher on the entire supply. Apparently, that is sufficient. Unlike Rav Papa, who required that each piece be identified separately. Targum Rav Papa explained that here we're speaking about a unique case. Typically, you need to identify each piece independently. But here, they fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. You saw it was all one of the same fish. Here was the head, here was the midsection, here was the tail section, and they fit together like a jigsaw. Tigmar papa shchatichoy shavis. So in that case, you know, it's all one and the same supply. If one is good, so are the rest. If that's the case, my remember, why even discuss it? It's so obvious. Well, the time perhaps I'll think, you know what, maybe it chanced randomly that they all fit together, although they're really from separate sources. No, we're not concerned about that. Nechosh, perhaps we should be concerned. Dilma Estrami, perhaps he lucked out that they all look like they're part of the same thing when they're really not. Kamashma, the point is, we're not going to go that far with our, you know, concerns. Hahu Arba, in fact, it was a story about a little ship, the Tzachanta, full of this Tzachanta fish, which incidentally is the Chilak and the Sultanis fish discussed yesterday, those many fish, that showed up the Ossi to the town of Sichra, the Ossi of Sichra. Now, we know these fish do not feature kosher signs when they were young, although they're technically kosher because they will develop it later on, as we discussed the other day. But in the meantime, you have to confirm that, in fact, they are of the kosher species. So the Rav came out to check, Nafak, who went out, Rav Huna bar Chinna v'chazan, he took a close look, and he noticed, v'chazan v'kalfi v'shari. He noticed some scales lying around amongst the fish, and that was a confirmation that, in fact, they were kosher. Amalei Rava, so Rava wasn't very happy. He says, you know, we're speaking about a port. Many fish come through here. The scales that you found could have been from these, could have been from others. I mean, unless you really are going to pick up each fish independently and identify it and confirm its kosher, how do you know just because you found some scales lying around? Amalei Rava, Miyumika, the Sharkai Gavna, who would allow this type of situation? But Asra Shchichi Kalfi, in a place where you find scales lying around. Nafak Shipuri, the Rava, in fact, Rava made an announcement, so they had the Sheforis, they called out, they made a declaration that in fact Rava disallowed the use of this shipment. Nafak Shipuri, the Rava Basar. So Rava's Sheforis went out, basically announced that it's banned. Oh, and then there was another announcement by Rav Huna bar Chinna. Shipurei de Rav Huna bar Chinna. So then came out the next announcement, the name of the other Rav, Rav Huna bar Chinna, Vishari, who allowed it. So we're sort of stuck. Amar of Yirmi Amidifti. So he said like this, L'didi Amar li Rapapi. Rapapi himself told me, he explained to me this situation. Kishara Rav Huna bar Chinna, all the Rav Huna bar Chinna did permit, but it was limited to the tzir, which is merely midrabanan, so this limited form of identification sufficed. But tziran, aval begufan loy, but he never allowed consumption of the actual fish, which would be also min ha-Torah if not kosher. Amar Rav Ashi, lididi amar li rapapa, or rapapi, I had a different version from rapapi, kishara, rafun bar Chinna, when Rafun bar Chinna allowed it, all the way, afilu begufan, he allowed it even regarding the actual fish itself. Concludes Rav Ashi. Now we're sort of in limbo. Vano, my personal opinion is, loy mesa arsrina, I'm not going to ban it. Duka amali rapapi, because rapapi told me that it was okay. Veloy mesa sharina, no, am I going to really permit it all the way. Da amar Rav Huna mishmei de ula, because of that earlier statement, Rav Huna told us in the name of ula, that with respect to the consumption of the fish itself, you have to really have firm identification. You can't just make assumptions and draw parallels from one on the other. A sample checking is not enough. The discussion earlier, how far you have to check, is only with respect to the tzir, which is more lenient, but the actual fish itself, the Rakhal all agree, one needs to identify the head, the spine of each single fish, each single slice. So we're sort of leaving it in limbo. I'm not going to proceed. I can't say yes. I can't say no. We're going to find ourselves other fish. Yosef Rav Chinna bar Idi. He was sitting kamei in front of the Rav Adi bar Rava. Yosef came and he was saying over a halach. Oyvid kechavim. So a goy shows up with a shipment of a fish sauce. Oyvid kechavim shehevi areva brings a ship full of milei chavis, full of barrels of a brine, of fish sauce. Okay, v'nimtzes kilbis, and we have to look out to see if we find the little kilbis creature swimming around, right? So you take a look at one barrel and you find gemalik mazel tov, and it says kilbis b'achas men. You find a kilbis contained in one of those barrels. Now, do we have to go check all barrels, or can we just assume it's all from the same source, all the same material? So it depends. Psuchos. If they're all uncovered, all the other barrels are uncovered, so in this case, even if you didn't find, you didn't notice this kilbis anywhere else, except for the first barrel that you found, kulam mutaris, they're all okay. Why? We assume that if you found the kilbis in this barrel, which is indicative of its kosher content, presumably the entire shipment contains the same material from the same source, and the absence of the kilbis amongst the other barrels is not going to throw a wrench into our assumption, because we can just speculate that the kilbis hopped out because they were all open, unsealed. Stumais, however, if the rest of the barrels are closed, sealed, so nothing is jumping out, so the absence of the kilbis in the other ones raises a red flag on the other ones. He muteris. So the container that had the kilbis is okay, the kulan asuras, but the rest not. Amalisi responded, min halacha. How would you know this? This halacha, especially this point that if they're all open, we can assume they had the kilbis and they jumped out. He says, look, mitlasa kroy shmili. I heard it from three pesukim, meaning Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yechon, three great people, Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yechon, all told me this halacha. Rashi says, he called them psukim. Gimel chachamim gedoylem shem kedai lismachalim kalam mikra. You can rely on them. They're as authoritative as the psukim. Basically, this halacha is rooted in great men. Okay, so that was the halacha. Amarav, Runa Amarav. So we spoke about mashed fish, brine, fish sauce. What about kirvei dogim v'ubaran, the innards, the kishkas, the intestines of the fish, the fat, v'ubaran, or the eggs, the they call roe, right? The eggs that you find. So ein nikachin elamin amumcha. If you want to buy it, you have to buy it from an expert, a fish expert who can tell you with firmness, with confidence, that in fact they come from kosher fish, because there are many different varieties, different types. Unless you know your stuff, you never know where it came from. So it has to be a mumcha, a person that knows, that's reliable. Rami lai ulo, he asked the question, Rabbi Distoyed min Beri. Min deka omar Rav. Let's analyze Rav's halacha. He said that kirvei dogim v'ubaron ein nikachin ela min hamumcha. So these items, including the roe, right, the eggs, you have to make sure it's from a kosher source, and not from a non-kosher fish. Mechlal the dog tummy is like uber. Do you mean that a non-kosher fish feature this type of egg, this roe? But I mean, we have a kasha from a brisa. Dog tummy mashritz. No, a non-kosher fish. He bears his offspring alive. He doesn't lay eggs. Tar matel beitzim. Only a kosher fish lays eggs. So where do you get eggs from a non-kosher fish? Sami mekan uber. Okay. So he said, okay, we'll delete ubaran, because there's no issue regarding eggs. They're never sourced in non-kosher fish. Amar Abzeira. No, don't, not so fast. Loisismi, don't erase anything. Tarvayu matile beitzim ninu. In reality, both varieties, kosher and non-kosher fish, both, in fact, produce eggs. Only difference is, the kosher fish lays the eggs, and then they develop into non-kosher fish. It happens all within the animal, and it bears it alive, right? So they come out alive. Elazem mashrus b'chutz, by the kosher fish, it develops outside of the fish. Vizem mashrus mifnim, by the non-kosher fish, it develops inside. But in fact, you can find beitzim from both fish. Asks the Gemara, why do we need a mumcha, big expert? You can figure it out yourself. It's relatively easy. Take a close look. You can identify what's kosher, what's not. Lamali mumcha, skip the mumcha. Live like b'simon. Just take a look at the signs given to identify the kosher roe. The sign, we have a braisa, k'simoni beitzim, k'ach simoni dogim. The same simonim, same signs. Used to identify eggs, you know, like bird eggs, fish, chicken eggs, to indicate that they're of kosher variety. Kach simoni dogim, the same signs are applied to identifying fish. Fish? What do you mean? Simoni dogim? Who's talking about fish here? Simoni dogim, it's already in the Torah. Fins and scales. What's got to do with eggs? Snapper because kesses, what the Torah speaks about. Fins and the scales. Totally different way of identifying fish. The next. Ella, rather, what we meant to say is like this. The Braisa meant to compare the kisimoni beitzim, similar to the simonim that you find by eggs, by regular eggs, tach simoni uberi dogim. Likewise, with respect to identifying, there are similar simonim used to identify uberi dogim, the fish eggs. Okay, so what are these simonim? How would you know the eggs, whether bird eggs or chicken eggs or fish eggs, are in fact of the kosher variety? Be'eloin simoni beitzim, these are the simonim that you should find on your eggs. Kol shoyd kederes, it has to be oblong, so sort of wide on one side and narrows as against the other side. Vagul goylis, and it's roundish as opposed to a squarish type. And more specifically, roisha echad kad, so when we speak about oblong, one side is wide, so to speak, Rosh Echad Chad. The other side is more pointy, it's like a cod, like a pitcher, which is sort of wide on bottom and arrows on top. So if that's what you find, then you're good. Torah, then you know it's of the kosher variety. And that applies to large eggs, fish eggs, right? Then you know it's kosher. But if it's base Rosh Echadin, if you find both sides pointy, or base Rosh Echadin, or both sides wide, then you know it's Tmei, it's non-kosher. Chelmon bachutz. Chelmon is the yellowy portion of the egg. So you find that on the outside, surrounding the white on the inside. The chelmon, the white. Chelmon is like chalav, like milk, right? On the inside, bifnim, right? Which is in the reverse as of the opposite of the chicken eggs, right? So the yellow on the outside and the white on the inside. Tmei, then you know it's not kosher. But if it's chelboin b'chutz, v'chelmoin b'fnim, the white on the outside, the yellow on the outside, tar, then it's okay. Chelboin v'chelmoin, m'ravin zebzeb, what if it spicks together, the white and the yellow, like a marble? Zoyi beis asheretz, and you know, it's the egg laid by a non-kosher creature. Rashi brings, for instance, tzav and lata'a, crocodiles, etc. So why is that important to know? He says, because let's say it started forming inside, and you touch it, then you become tamei, because it's a sheretz that exports tumah. In any case, let's just backtrack. We had an interesting halach. You buy these kirvei dogim, you buy fish innards, you buy roe eggs. Be careful to buy it only from an expert. Why an expert? Everybody could figure it out. We were just given, we were just provided with clear signs of what constitutes a kosher kosher fish item, right? Rabbi Kshini Moichu. Oh, yeah, if it's still intact, you can tell, but that halacha was speaking where it was dissolved, was mashed up. Nothing to tell, you can't identify. So you have to buy from a reliable person, expert. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Distoid ben Beri. Now, earlier, Rabbi Distoid ben Beri had suggested that we delete the Omar Samrim Mikan Ubron. So he had said that we should delete Ubaran. Because of that kasha that we had, let's not discuss the fish eggs in this context. So according to him, Vatanya, right? Because he said that the non-kosher fish doesn't really have this roe. So what about that braisa that clearly made reference to the need to identify roe in order to avoid encountering non-kosher roe? So apparently non-kosher fish have this phenomenon. Tanya, the Braisa spoke about kisimoni beitzim, kachsimoni ubre dogim. Right? Same shape you meant to find by regular eggs, you should be finding by the fish eggs, apparently, because there is something called non-kosher fish eggs. Says the Gemara, we have to tweak the Braisa and modify it. Lav terutzei. If you recall, we had already tweaked the braisa a bit in order to resolve one issue, right? So once you're tweaking it, tweak it a bit further. To Ritzachi, put it in line with Rav Destoy's opinion. Tzritzachi. Kach simone kirve dogum. Oh. So the Braisa is simply drawing a parallel between simone beitzim and simone kirve dogum. Just like you can tell a chicken egg by its form, right? Oblong, etc. A similar, you want to find a similar configuration with kirve dogum, the innards of fish, which are still intact. What do we find within the innards of a fish, within the intestines, within the stomach? That there should be anything there that has this type of shape, oblong. Yeah, mishkachas la b'shil fucha. You have the womb area of the female fish, which has this type of shape. If you want to eat it, make sure that it's formed accordingly, that it's oblong. That's all the Braisa was talking about, not about roe. So again, if it's intact, whether the eggs, the intestines, etc., just take a look at the rules, at the identifying signs given in the Gemara, you know where you're coming from. What if it's mashed and dissolved? The only way is to go and buy it from a mumcha. Now let's say you don't have a mumcha. Ein sham, im ein sham, mumcha, right? What do we do if you don't have a mumcha who's known to be an expert in fish? So somebody's selling you the fish, so what do you do? My Amar, if you do kiven the Amar, as long as he tells you, look, ani malachtim, I personally, salted them. So I produced this product, and I know that it came from kosher fish. I made it myself, and you can, you know, if he's a reliable, if he's an honest person you can trust, right? If he has a yid, he has his kashrus, we assume he's saying the truth. Mutar, Rav Nachman, Amar, that's not enough. Things are confusing when it comes to fish. You can't rely unless he tells you. Look, he points to that fish. He says, these are the fish where I took it from. Elu dogum, ve'elu kirveim. Look, these are the carp fish, and these are the kirveim. These are the innards and the... Then you know you could. Oirele Rav Yehuda. In fact, Rav Yehuda instructed to a local caterer, La'ada. His name was Ada Daili. He was a servant. He was a caterer. He prepared meals. And he says, kiven da amar, nimalach to mutarn. All you need is that the seller should tell you, look, I personally salted them. I could tell you it came from kosher fish. So you trust this yid, and that's enough. Vala shel chiltus. Another item in the Mishnah, which is permissible, if purchased from a goy, is an ola shel chiltus, as opposed to the previous Mishnah where we discussed sliced chiltus, which may have been sliced with a goyish non-kosher knife. Here we're speaking about a leaf, which isn't really cut using any utensils. Pshita, obviously, it's okay. I mean, if it's just a plain leaf, what can be wrong? Le'nisrach must be speaking of lekartin shaboy. Among the leaves, you find little slices, little slivers of this vegetable. Ma'odotema, perhaps I would think that it was cut with a utensil. Ma'odotema, nechosh duma ma'isi ma'arvi. Perhaps the guy took some sliced chiltis and mixed it in here. Kamashmon, the answer is no. The ha, we assume, we hope for the best. The ha ish taruki, it slid, it slipped. Shtaruki d'shtaruk v'osabado, that it slid along, it got sort of attached with the leaves when it was pulled off the plant. It's little slivers of that vegetable, whatever it is, came along with it, but it wasn't really sliced by a guy with his non-kosher utensils. Shtaruki got dragged along with the shtaruk v'osabado and came along with the leaves. Oh, Rashi said ishtaruki means like it slid. It slid from the leaves into the kli. He says, umina olin lekli atzman ishtaruki nishmetu. They got sort of slipped off the leaves. Okay, whatever it is, it came along with the leaves and slipped into the kli. And that's why you found some remnants, some chiltis pieces along the leaves, among the leaves. Vizeisei gluskoi sam gulgolim. So here we have the glob of olives. Gluska is like a cake, right? Yeah, like a cake of olives. Hamgugolin, which are rather soft. So they're sitting in this container. And they appear pretty moist. Officially, they're just plain olives. Can you buy it from a guy? No problem. We don't assume they were treated or sprayed with any wine. Pshita, well, of course, why would I think otherwise? Litznichtrucha, must be speaking, I've got the Rafi Tuba, they're very, really, really soft and mushy. Perhaps I would think they were treated with wine, chamra, ramawi, tossed in some wine to enhance them. Kamashmon, the point is no. You know why they're so soft? Honey, these olives, machmas mishcha hudurafa, because of their oil that's oozing out of them. When they sit around for a while, lumped up, and they get warm, they get moist, and it starts getting really soft. And that's all it is. No issue of kashrus. Rabbi Yosi Yom Shlachan Asur, he says, Shlachan would be a problem. What does that mean? If the olives had reached the point of Shlachan, you have a problem. Hey, Chidomi Shlachan, what exactly is this? Rabbi Yosi Machanina called Sh'oichsa B'yadei, you grip the olives, and the pit comes shooting out. V'gari Nasa Nishmetis. So if it's soft enough that the pit actually slides out, then we have to assume, says Rabbi Yosi, that in fact it wasn't a naturally occurring phenomenon. It was due to the moisture coming about through that additive such as wine. Hachagavan HaBoy. What about buying grasshoppers for personal consumption? So it depends. Tanu Rabban. Hachagavan. So you have grasshoppers. Bakarfrisin. That comes from the tzlaf plant. It's like a peel on the fruit there. It's basically edible raw. Bakafleitois. This is leek. Haboy min ha'itzer. So even if the guy sells it, even if he happened to, as she says, the kafrisin were even cooked by a guy, there's no issue. Likewise with the kaflutois we had the other day, so cooked, there's no issue because they could be edible. They're edible raw, so the guy hadn't really accomplished much. So all these items are okay. Haboy min ha'itzer. Now it depends. Depends where he's taking it from. He's bringing it from the storage. He wouldn't add anything because it would spoil. It would shorten its shelf life. We can safely assume that it's just the actual product without any additives. Haboy min ha'itzer, if it's coming from storage, min ha'heftek, that's also the back room there, the pile of min ha'svino coming off the ship in large quantities. So it's just a plain item without any additives. Mutarin, but hanimkaren bekatluza, or some say beslula. It's a different story if it's sitting in the tray over there in front of the merchant, so it's up for sale right now in the grocery, then it's a good chance he may have enhanced it with some additives to give it a better presentation. So then it's asur and you can't rely, you can't buy it. It may be laden with yayin, with stam yenam or other types of because chances are that he sprayed some wine on top of these items. V'chein, likewise, in a similar halacha, we have yayin tapuchen. Apple juice, apple cider. Shalav de kechavim, sold by the goyim. Is there a kashrus concern? Shall we assume it's pure or not? So again, it depends where it's coming from. Haboy min ha'itzer, min ha'heftik, min ha'slula. If it's coming from the back room, from the storage, all that. Mutarin, it's pure without any additives. Nimka b'katluza also, but if it's being sold there in the store, v'pnei shem arim b'yayin, there's a concern because they tend to mix wine into this to enhance it. So if it's slated for immediate sale, they're prone to pour some wine or whatever into it. And then you have a kashrus concern. Tan rabbanan, we have a story. Pamachas. It so happens that one time Chash Rebbe Hakadosh, who we know suffered many years from stomach ailments, as discussed in the Gemara, Matzia, etc. So he had a serious condition at that point, and he needed something to alleviate his pain. Chash Rabbi B'meyav, he had an issue with his stomach. Omar, he says, Klum Yesh Adam, and apparently they knew that this type of Yain Tapuchem can serve as a remedy, but he wasn't sure whether he can buy it from a guy. Omar, he says, Klum Yesh Adam Shiyadeh Yain Tapuchem Shleb G'chav Asurim Mutter. Anybody around who can tell me whether it's okay, it's permitted to buy yain tapuchim from a guy? So in response to his question, Amar Lefanav, who got up and responded? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. He says, I'll tell you, from my father, the great Rabbi Yosi from Machat, so happens at one time, Chosh Abba, my own father, had discomfort b'meyav, stomach, v'evilo yain tapuchim, shleb kichavim, and they brought him this real ancient apple cider of the from the guyim, shal ayin shana, 70-year-old apple cider, really aged, and it did the trick. V'shasav nisrapi, he had a drink, and he felt better. Sure, apparently it's okay to drink this type of material. Amalai, so Rebbe was a little bit irked. He says, Kalkach, hoya biyotcha, you had all this information in your hands, and you waited until I had to ask and, you know, plead, and why don't you just come tell me right away? When you saw I was in discomfort, I was in pain, you should have offered this information right away. About the mitzarei, you caused me to be in pain. In any case, they went and they looked around, batku matzu, and they discovered, in fact, there was a guy who was who had stored away this apple cider, and they found what they were looking for. Batku matzu oved gecham echad, this certain guy, shoyle, he had this huge quantity, shloish meyos, 300 garve, these containers, yayin shotapuchim, apple cider, which was 70 years old. Shel ayin shana, and they quickly took it, they got it, and they gave it to Rebbe Beshasa Nisrapi, and he had it, and he felt better. Omar, ah! He exclaimed with gratitude to Hashem, look what Hashem had to arrange for me. All this had to happen for me to have the refuah. The guy had to decide 70 years ago to put it aside. All that was arranged and orchestrated so that a Yid could have a refuah. Baruch HaMakim, blessed Hashem, Shemasa, Olam L'Shem, that entrusted his world in the hands of Shemrim, of people to look after, to take care of it. Marsha explains that, you know, basically the guy had to look after it for 70 years. Why? So that Rabbi HaKadosh should have enough from it. And that's why Rabbi expressed his appreciation to Hashem for orchestrating all this in order to please him. Okay, Mechin Truma, one last item in the Mishnah is that the same pattern, the same type of formula applies to Truma. What does that mean? My Mechin Truma, Omer of Sheshes. We're speaking about a kohen who is less than trustworthy. V'chein l'kohen ha'choshed. He's suspected of doing what? Limkar truma l'shem chulun. He tends to sell truma, which he gets for free, pretending that it's chulun. He doesn't tell his customers. He puts it out in the store and he sells it. So what happens? Well, it depends. L'fanav u'dos. So yeah, you can't buy stuff that's sitting out there because maybe it's really truma. You can't trust him. Aval abam mina oitzer. But whatever's sitting in the back room and the storage and the ship, he wouldn't risk that merchandise. He wouldn't play around with it because irsusi mirsis, he's certainly fearful to misrepresent that stuff because sabar, he figures, shami bi rabban, all I need is that the rabban find out about my shenanigans, umavsu delay me nine, they'll confiscate the entire stock. I'm not going to take a risk. So stuff that's sitting out there, worst case, I'll lose that, fine. But he wouldn't tinker with the stuff in the back, with the store, with the oitzer that he has there. So if he's taking it from the back and giving it to you, then you know it's kosher food. Okay, let's do a quick recap of today's daf. We spoke about the tzir, which can only be identified using the kilvis, this little creature jumping around, which is only found in kosher tzir, in terms of identifying pieces or parts of fish or parts of fish. We have various opinions differentiating between the tzir and the fish itself. One simon, two simonim. We have the snapper because keses, but not always. Do we need that? Even if you can identify it by its head, by its shedra, that would be sufficient if it's firm and positive form of identity. We have the kirvei dogim, we have the ubrei dogim, we have the simonim of the beitzim, how to tell a kosher egg from a non-kosher egg, right? The oblong, roundish, white on the outside, yellow on the inside. What types of fish products have to be certified to make sure that, in fact, they're sourced from the kosher fish. Spoke about olah shel chiltus, spoke about moist olives being okay unless you have reason to believe otherwise. Chagoven, things purchased from a goy, make sure that it's not laden with additives. Yain tapuchim, if we know that it's, then in fact it was untampered with, it's just pure apple cider would be okay as well. I guess it was not the derech to mix in. To mix in wine. I guess it would spoil the apple cider. So again, that was assumed to be pure and natural. And we discussed the halacha of the kohen regarding trusting him provided he has a deterrent against tampering and misrepresenting his product. Hadron Loch Ein Ma'amidim Be'ez Hashem. Tomorrow we'll continue. We'll see. Nu Perek Kol Atzlamim. All the best to you and much, much Atzlacha.